In order to obey any order, there are two conditions in front of a human being, facing a human being. Firstly, the first condition is this, that whenever a order is given, then a person starts to think, he reflects, absorbs, ponders. Yeah. So if a person sees or hears an order and then starts to think and challenge it with his maybe thinking or intellect, or looks at benefit and loss and what's in it for me, and what we say commonly in English, if we say, what's the logic of this order? What's the wisdom behind this order? This is one way of thinking before a person implements an order. And the other way of thinking is that when the hukm comes, when the order comes, then without any question, without any hesitation, without any doubt, without any questioning, without challenging, where is there a benefit in this? Is there a loss in this? Should I do this? Do I need to do this? What's the logic behind this order? What's the wisdom behind this order? That individual, despite all of that, implements that order, carries out that order, puts that order into action. So Islam falls into the second category, the second condition, the one I've just explained. When a person enters into Islam, then his thinking should be like this, just as I've just explained, the second category of thinking and the condition. Anyway, despite this, in the Qur'an al-Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given many examples with regards to this point, that the biggest event we could say is with regards to the event relating to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Ibrahim, he was the beloved Prophet of Allah, and he passed through such scenarios. For example, Allah Ta'ala gave him a son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and obviously Allah Ta'ala wanted to give a test to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam with regards to his child. And when Allah Ta'ala gives somebody a test, a challenge, then Allah Ta'ala presents the test to the person in accordance with what Allah Ta'ala has given to him. So if Allah Ta'ala wants to test somebody, then Allah Ta'ala will put love into the heart of something that Allah Ta'ala wants to test that person against. So if you love something, if you have affection towards something, you're fond of something, Allah will put that fondness, that love, that attraction more into your heart, then Allah will test you against that or challenge you. So in normal situations, a person won't have that attraction, but then Allah will say that, let's see here if this person obeys Allah's hukam, or does he fall into the trap and become an ashik and a lover and carry out something which is not correct, possibly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled the extreme love of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam into the heart of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had a lot of love, and this was his son, blood relationship. And then the test came, the challenge came from Allah. And we know the event, you're all aware of the event, where Hazrat Allah Ta'ala gave the test to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and ordered him that sacrifice your son. We know this from the Quran. And then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't look at what's the logic here. The Quran is telling us this. He didn't look at the wisdom behind it. Is it right to do it? He didn't become upset or distressed. How will I do this? Such a big action, such a big order. How will I implement it? My son. Maybe a person can have these thoughts. Yes, a person can have these thoughts. Though maybe Allah wants something else instead of this order. Maybe Allah means something else. But because the order had come from Allah, and Allah Ta'ala had strengthened his heart already that yes, this is Allah's order, this is Allah's design, and his character and the way he was accepted that this was the order of Allah, and he could not go towards any doubt or answering back or challenging. So he wasn't worried. There was no fikr that how can I implement this? Shall I implement this? No. He thought, okay, this is a young child. So Allah's ordered me to do this, which I'm going to do. But my child, he's not baligh, he's not mature. How will he accept that I'm going to carry out this action? Will he be prepared? So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was ready. But then the child, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, he thought, will my son listen? Will he go along with what I'm doing? So when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, his son, who was a child, that I've seen a dream, Allah Ta'ala has ordered me to do this action, that I should sacrifice you, then subhanallah, he was also the son of Khalil Allah, the friend of Allah, subhanallah. And he said, Father, what is there to think about? No need to hesitate, my dear father. The order that Allah Ta'ala has given, let's do it. Let's practice it. We don't need to reject. So then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said, subhanallah. My son, mashallah, he has given me the answer quicker than the question that I posed to him. He's prepared. He's ready. Subhanallah. So big event, historical event, Quranic story. And then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam went with his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was then laid down on the ground and or on some place. And then he started to implement the order of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Here we see that when Allah the Sustainer said to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, surrender thyself unto me. And he answered, I have surrendered myself to you, Allah. So he tied his son, and then the knife was ready. But then we know what happened after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he saw all of this, then أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, where Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I've surrendered myself to you, O Allah, the Sustainer of all the worlds. And Allah accepted this action of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the words that Allah is using in the Quran is Islam, the word of Islam, surrendering to Allah. So these examples, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, tell us that a Muslim, a person who brings about Iman and Islam in his heart, the first thing that we think, logic, or why, or do I need to, this cannot run with the deen of Islam. We don't start thinking, questioning, oh, that individual can never be successful. The Quran says that individual never be successful in the path of Allah. Maybe the world, but we're not talking about dunya. We're talking about Allah's journey, the journey to Allah. A person can never be successful in this world or the akhirah who has heard the ahkam of Allah, and in comparison to that, in answer to that, he brings about his own logic, his worry, his fikr, his own logic and understanding. Oh, I could do this, or shall I do it this way, or if I do this, this will occur. Thousands of logical answers, and today in this day and age, there's an ajeeb day and age, and so many questions and doubts, question marks, and challenges that are posed. Here, the example Allah Ta'ala has given, hukam, the ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasool. Allah has given us clear order that we have to obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And further Allah says, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. We have two ahkams, Allah, the shara and the sunnah and sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for a person to doubt in front of shara and sunnah, we have to think that if Allah has given us orders, His framework, His orders, and the sunnah and sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us an order, direction, then to think in our minds, to have fikr and worry, to hesitate, to stop, or to think there's a loss in deen, or if their loss is visible or not visible, or there are doubts, etc. So this all points to the fact that a person is against Islam. This is against the teaching of Islam. Islam means to surrender oneself totally to Allah. Just like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ, I have surrendered myself, Allah, to you. And these are the people who will see success in the hereafter, whose death is good, their life is good, positive, nice, relaxing, and peaceful life, no worry, no issues. So when a person travels with Allah Ta'ala's desire, Allah's decisions, Allah Ta'ala's vision and framework, when a person follows his lifestyle in accordance to this framework, then Allah makes that person His beloved. Allah starts to love that person. Allah loves that person. And he becomes the beloved of Allah, the mahbub of Allah. And if a person becomes the mahbub of Allah, the beloved of Allah, then his life becomes separate, unique. And brilliant. We think, oh, this person's weird, or maybe he's not great. But inside, that person's mutma'in. He's got a peaceful life, comfortable life, sakina, content. And all of the clashes with the dunya end, all of the problems of living in the dunya end. A person lives a good life, a good human being. Today, we see many people, their lives are based on fulus and money. And if a person always thinks about fulus and money, the person who doesn't follow the advice of Islam, and he's on category number one that I explained earlier, who's just worrying about dunya and doubts and challenging Allah. Just like a person who follows Allah Ta'ala's desire and orders, Allah makes him His beloved or her beloved. his beloved, and then Allah Ta'ala makes all that person's actions easy. Allah Ta'ala says that that person's life, everything is satisfying for that person. People say, oh, you've got a loss. He says, I'm not worried about myself. Allah will give me, in comparison to this, in response to this, I've got a way out. Allah will give me the compensation for this. But the first category of person, who whenever he's confronted or faced with Islam, the direction of Islam, and that person, he or she, who doubts Allah's ahkams and starts thinking and challenges and questions, oh, I've got a loss here, what's going to happen, etc. So then that person goes far from Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. Doesn't matter how much he tries hard, runs around, puts his hand, spreads his hands and legs out wide and tries hard to make his destiny positive, but never can that individual be successful in his life. Wealth and money, nothing can satisfy that person. And he lives his life in an ajeeb way and departs from this world in an ajeeb way, in a poor way, in a bad way, his life is. So these words that I'm discussing with you and communicating with you, why? Because we are in Ramadan, in the great month of fasting. And as I was saying, that Ramadan comes to refresh our deen, revitalize our deen, to re-energize us in every sector, every factor of our life, every subject of our life. And this is the biggest sector of life. This is the biggest factor. The biggest factor is what? In reality, the pious predecessors have said this, that the biggest message of the fast is this, and everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. The biggest message of the fast is this. The fasting month, Ramadan, refreshes and re-energizes us, that every order of Allah, without hesitation and doubt, accept and you will become successful. This is the prime, unique message of Islam. How successful you'll become, there's an example. What is success? Not monetary, but you will become the beloved of Allah. You will become close to Allah. Allah will start to love you. Allah will make you His beloved. Imagine big station, a big rank and status that Allah is assigning. Ramadan is explaining this to us, teaching this to us. Look, in Ramadan, totally we learn this. Everything else, all the other messages of Ramadan, learnings are secondary. This is the primary lesson of Ramadan. We keep the fast. And according to Sharia, let's look at the example to understand this further. According to Sharia, when dawn breaks out, the hukum of Allah is that when after daybreak, we have to do three things. Leave food, whether it's halal, haram, everything's finished. Even haram is haram, we can't eat anyway, unlawful. But after daybreak, after subah sadiq, daybreak, dawn, we have to leave eating. We have to leave drinking, and our desires, for example, our nafs desires, we cannot implement, for example, going to our wives or etc. So these three actions we not do during the fasting day. Whether the fast day is 6 hours long, whether the fast day is 8 hours long, whether the fast day is 12 hours long, alhamdulillah, or 20 hours long, like some people are facing today, or if it's 20 hours, etc., or 10 hours of fast, the conditions are the same. And subhanAllah, wherever a person's fasting 6 hours, and where people are fasting 8 hours, 12 hours, 20 hours, everyone, if you phone them in different places of the world, everyone will feel the same, that, oh, it's the same enjoyment. I'm enjoying myself. And the 6 hour fast, you'll say, oh, you're fasting 20 hours. How do you pass the hours? It must be difficult for you. And the person who's fasting 8 hours, is it? Oh, the man who's fasting, the sister who's fasting 6 hours, they're enjoying themselves. But the people fasting 6 hours will feel the same hunger, tiredness as those who are fasting 20 hours. It's not that they don't have a test, no. Everyone, they will feel the fast the same, in the same way. And the condition, the halat, oh, 6 hours, I'm free from fasting now, the day went quick. But the person who's fasting 6 hours, he's also saying, oh, it was hard today, it was difficult today. You can have that experience, you will feel that, you will see that. This is the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's given such an ibadah, He's varied it, distributed it. So these three actions, Allah ta'ala says that after daybreak, after dawn, after subah sadiq, we cannot do these three things. Some people are doing it for 6 hours, some people 8 hours, some people 7 hours, some people 10 hours or more. So now, let's listen clearly. There are 20 hours fast as well. So now, if we have kept the fast, we are keeping the fast. Hukam, what is Allah's hukam? Order. Three orders here, isn't it? And Allah Ta'ala has given the time frame for this order. Allah Ta'ala says that I've given you the time frame, not on your watches, not on your mind. Say subhanAllah, not on your watches, that you have to make watches, then it will be 6 a.m., then it will be 6:29 or 30. No. Allah Ta'ala says, Subah Sadiq, before daybreak, before dawn, from dawn until sunset, you have to fast. Even if your watch battery fails, what will you do? But Allah's usool will continue, the universe will continue, time will continue, the sun will rise and it will set, the moon will be born and it will set, the new lunar month will start. Allah wants to show the world and the waterfalls and the light and the rays from the creation. This is the universe of Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Allah says that this is such a great action that your watches will fail, your time will fail, but my time will never stop. What will happen? Subh Sadiq, daybreak. From daybreak, from dawn. The hukum is as soon as dawn breaks out, as soon as Subah Sadiq happens, occurs, then three things we have to stop: eating, drinking, and following our desires. There are certain rules. Now, if there's a person here in this country, there are many times of Subah Sadiq. I don't know what I can say. How many Sadiq and Subah Sadiqs there are? Times for dawn. But the Sharia hukum is that from daybreak, as soon as daybreak comes, that same minute, from that time, a person cannot delay by 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes. If you eat more beyond daybreak, then your fast, is it accepted? Mufti sahibs are sitting here. Ask them, no, you will not have a fast. The fast will be null and void. If you extend your breakfast or morning meal, sahri meal, beyond the time of sahri, subah sadiq, you say, oh, I've only just sipped two more sips of water for another minute, and I'm going to stay hungry 20 hours after that. I'm not going to eat or drink. I'm not going to go to my wife. I'm going to suppress my desires. 20 hours, I only just went over daybreak time by 1 minute or 2 minutes. I just sipped a couple of sips of water. But will the fast be accepted? The fast will not be accepted. Why? Because we've broken that first rule of we've gone beyond the time. Now let's go to the other extreme of the day, sunset. Maghrib time. Sunset. So from daybreak to sunset. So if before sunset, 2 minutes before, 3 minutes before, I eat the dates and drink the water, is the fast accepted? The fast won't be accepted. Why? Because I broke the fast before time. But Allah, I stayed hungry all day. I didn't eat for 20 hours. So what if it's only 2 minutes before the sunset? What happened if a minute and a half before? Oh, have I given any difficulty to anyone? But the fast won't be accepted. Why? Why? What's the objective here? What's the message here? The fast given to us? That you have broken Allah's order. That's why. So if a man breaks Allah's order, then 20 hours of your struggle and effort will not be accepted by Allah. Then your whole life, let's compare, you can do what you want. But if you break Allah's order, then you will be destined to Jahannam. Understand the comparison. So what's the priority here? Allah's order, Allah's hukam. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. 1 day, not 2 days, not 30 days, not 4 days. 30 days fasting. Fasting teaches us, makes us practice that obey Allah's order. Obey Allah's order. Don't think, oh, what's happened if I eat 2 minutes over the breakfast meal, sahri, suhoor, or I drank a few sips of water after daybreak, or before maghrib. It's only 3 minutes before, 2 minutes before. Oh, I broke the fast with dates. I would have eaten after as well. I kept the whole fast. I didn't do nothing during that time. Allah Ta'ala says, it doesn't matter. Your whole struggle of the day, you have washed it away, wiped it away. Your effort of the whole day, in which that the message of the fast was given to you, Allah's order, now you've minused it from your records. Why did you break my order? Allah asks, you broke my orders. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, who breaks the order? Who disobeys Allah? It's your nafs that overwhelmed you within a second for a second. Subhanallah. 2 minutes, for a few minutes, your nafs made you its servant, its slave, and you came out of the circle of Allah Ta'ala's order, Allah's desire. And a person who becomes the slave and servant of his nafs for a few minutes, and his hal is that his 20 hours of effort and struggle is all wasted. And then that person, all his life, implements and obeys his nafs. Then what will happen to that person on the day of judgment? The person who follows his nafs his whole life. أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولُ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And know that whoever pays heed to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already attained to a mighty triumph. So we need to understand this message that every order of Allah we have to accept, and especially every hukam, every order, whether we feel like it or not, doesn't matter what shaitan puts and presents in front of us, logic and brain power and intellect, no. Today Allah Ta'ala says your ruh, your soul, you have to train it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we obey Allah and we accept Allah's orders, then fasting is not about leaving food and drink and our desires. Do you understand now the point here? If it's about leaving food and drink, then this 1 second, Allah will say, okay, I forgive you, doesn't matter. You had more food beyond daybreak. couple of minutes, 1.5 minutes. Okay, I'll forgive you. No, totally not. Allah says, I will not forgive you. I've wiped away your action of the day of the fast. If we do sabr for 2 minutes and we stop eating the meal of suhoor before daybreak and we break fast after sunset, then Allah will say, oh fasting person, subhanAllah. What has Allah Ta'ala said? What is the reward? Allah Ta'ala says, the breath of your mouth, the stench, the smell of your breath is sweeter to Allah than the fragrance of musk. Allah says, it's more beloved to me. Ahabbu, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, atyabu indallahi min rihil misk. Ahabbu indallahi min rihil misk. And alhamdulillah, I've put this fragrance of misk on today according to this hadith in my mood. That musk, the fragrance of musk, is a beautiful, sweet fragrance. Allah has always given examples. So we should apply it. You should use it. It's expensive nowadays, this fragrance of musk, this perfume, but Allah Ta'ala likes musk, and Allah gives the example, and this is all a sunnah of Allah that we should implement. Sometimes wear it, spend £100, £150, this fragrance is quite expensive. Rihil musk, Cambodian musk I like quite a lot. So Allah Ta'ala said, what? That musk, that I like the fragrance of what? Your smell of your breath more than the sweet smell of musk. Has a Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that here Allah Ta'ala stated, why has Allah Ta'ala said this, musk, that the smell, the breath of a fasting person is more beloved to Allah than the sweet smell of musk? Because he said that, this is from what? That this smell, this is related to muhabbat and love and the connection with Allah. This is not a normal action the person's carrying out. This is with regards to love. That let's take a mother who loves a child and looks after the child, and a small child, for example, a mother, she will not eat, she will assist her child, the baby, the child is urinated or has excreted, and the mother, she doesn't smell the bad smell or the odor, she's assisting her child. And if there's somebody else's clothes that are contaminated in soil, she would run away. But her child's clothes are soiled, she's making the food, cutting the onions, and she's cleaning the soiled clothes and the body of the child, because she has love for the child, extreme love. So what is this point here that Allah Ta'ala is teaching us? That this amal of fast is attached to the love of Allah. So if the mother loves the child so much, her baby so much, that even her dirty clothes and dirty smell due to the excrement and the urine, and she carefully and nicely cleans the body of her child and throws away the dirt, she doesn't smell have the bad smell, and she embraces the child all night long, and the child then soils the clothes again and excretes again and urinates again, but she embraces the child, gives milk, she doesn't smell the bad smell of the excrement or the urine and say, oh, I'm not going near to my child. So here Allah Ta'ala has given an example that the smell that's within your body, it's not coming out of your mouth. Where does it emanate from? From the stomach. The smell, the bad smell emanates from the stomach. Bad breath. So what's inside us? There's urine and excrement. That's it. That's within, isn't it? Inside our body is the stomach, the intestines. And this we eat. And when we are buried in the grave, the spiders will come and devour us. There's nothing special about us. We have a body, physical. We eat food and drink. We run around all day long eating, drinking, worried about food. And inside the food is digested and there's dirt. And excrement is produced and urine. So Allah Ta'ala says that the bad breath, the smell of the breath of a fasting person is sweeter to me, Allah Ta'ala says, is greater to me, better for me than the smell of musk. What does this mean? Allah Ta'ala says that I love so much this person, this man or woman who is fasting. I love this person so much that there's no action of this person that is not beloved to me. SubhanAllah says, SubhanAllah. Allah says, there's no action of this person that is not beloved to me. So if Allah Ta'ala says this, so when the mother, when she likes to clean her child despite the urine and the excrement and the smell, so is there anything of the child that the mother doesn't like? And Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter what the individual does, I love that person. So whatever the child does, the baby does, the mother embraces the child. And there's nothing worse than excrement and urine. So Allah says that the bad breath that's emanating from the stomach, I have loved that smell, I like that smell. So imagine the maqam, the status of that human being in relation with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The love that Allah Ta'ala is for that person. So what's this ajr being given for? Due to the action of fasting. Why? Not because we have ceased eating and drinking. That's what we think. Because this person has obeyed me. Allah says, I gave an order. He obeyed my order with caution. Then not for a second did he eat after dawn. He says, I'll get late. I don't care if I get late. But he was so cautious, I may not be that, oh, for example, it's okay if I am late in breaking the fast, but I will quickly observe the fast from the beginning before Subh Sadi, before dawn, and I will not break the rules. So a person who passes life like this is, no, may not be that Allah's order. Am I breaking Allah's order? Oh, is Allah Ta'ala going to be upset with me? And then, Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. Subhanallah. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, and we practice his sunnah. Allah's putting down the condition that we need to obey him and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me now. So now the fast is slapping us in the face that this is our condition, that we disobey Allah, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah. We ask for proofs and wisdom. We make excuses and we say it's fuzul, and we say it's a waste, and we run away from the sunnah, and we dislike the sunnah, and we hate it, and we joke against it, and we want Allah ta'ala's mercy on us. This is what the fast is telling us. The fast. Isn't this sad? Isn't this sadness? What a big point Allah ta'ala is teaching us. Allah Ta'ala says the deen that you are following, you will not get reward on your own deen that you have created. Allah says the laws and the framework that we follow, Allah Ta'ala's laws and framework, if we follow that, then we will get Jannah. And Allah's order is, whatever I order you to do without any hesitation, don't hesitate any seconds, don't look at loss and benefit. If your Rabb is giving you hukam, then there's profit upon profit, gain upon gain in implementing Allah's orders, fadl upon fadl, grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. Today, that person who implements the sunnah of my Habib, Allah says, then if he is ashamed of following the sunnah today, then Allah says, me, your Rabb, on the day of judgment will be ashamed on forgiving you on the day of judgment. Yes? So no man or woman, no brother or sister can dare to oppose the sunnah of Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learned this from the month of Ramadan. So do we understand now the lesson of Ramadan, the teaching of Ramadan, that on obeying one order of fasting, Allah has made us his beloved. So the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we practice one sunnah, then imagine what we will become. Imagine nobody until today, Wali Wala Kutab Ghaus Abdal, whoever has passed in the history of mankind, whoever has passed away, the beloved of Allah, who are close to Allah, no ibadah made them this, no worship except the ittiba of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what made a person beloved to Allah. Take this misconception of your mind. If I do dhikr, I'll become beloved to Allah. If I finish Qurans, I'll become beloved to Allah. If I do this action, no. And such an order of Allah. Such an order. Not that some laws we take, some orders we take. No, don't mess about. Allah Ta'ala says, the fast has explained to us, has told us, that there's no excuse, there's no flexibility, that for a minute we can play around with the orders of Allah. Isn't it, Haji Sahab? Yes, there's no flexibility here. That, oh, for a minute and a half I can delay the dawn, pre-dawn meal, or I should break the fast a minute and a half. So there's no flexibility. We can say, Allah, in this day and age I don't need to follow sunnah. I can delay it, it's too hard for me. It's difficult, how can I practice it? Allah Ta'ala says, this is the test for you, O Muslimin. Somebody has had a test for 20 hours, somebody for 8 hours, somebody for 6 hours. This is your test. Allah Ta'ala says that one person is being sent to a different country of the world, to another person to another country, another hemisphere, another part of the world. Somebody lives in Medina, somebody lives in Mecca, somebody is being sent to America, somebody is in UK, in Britain, different parts of the world. Everyone lives in different countries, different zones, different environments. It's not necessary we all live in the same place and that we have to live in a certain environment. No, Allah Ta'ala says this is the challenge. Everyone has a status and a reward, and those people who don't get that positive environment and they practice deen, they will get the great reward. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. How can anyone reach to the reward of those people who are living in a difficult environment, and those people who complete their fast and please Allah by obeying Allah? That person who completes his fast, how can anyone compare to that person? Allah Ta'ala says, I love your breath now. The breath of the fasting person, it's greater than the sweet smell of musk. Oh, servant of Allah, how lucky those people be. Those insan whose life is in accordance to ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Mujaddad al-Iftar, Hazrat Imam Irbani Mujaddad al-Iftani rahmatullahi, did he become a great sheikh just like that automatically? It was the time close to his death, and mashallah, he had vision, sahibi farash, and he knew that the time was near for his death, and he called somebody near to him and he said, do something for me, help me. He was sort of unconscious and he knew that death was near. Great sheikh, I am telling you about a great incident about a great sheikh. And what order did he give? What did he advise? What did he request? That bring a child. Bring a child to me quickly, young baby, a child. Subhanallah. And others didn't understand why he's asking for a child to be brought to him at this time near death, a young, innocent child. So they went and found and got a child, a baby, and he said, quickly seat the child in my lap. And he did dua to Allah, oh Allah, this sunnah, allow me to fulfill this sunnah without which I'm departing. And the child suddenly urinated on his lap. Subhanallah, he said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Ahmad has also implemented this sunnah, otherwise I would have departed without this. Why? Because once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a child was brought to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like mothers bring children for dua, and Rasulullah sallallahu used to love the children, babies, and as soon as the baby sat on the lap, he urinated. So is this a tariqah? Why did he do this? He didn't have to do this. No, the lover of the sunnah, the ghulam, the servant, who follows and the servant of Allah, the human being who's following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he starts thinking, no, I don't need to just go. Whatever was in his mind, he implemented today. He didn't become just automatically the mujaddid, the beloved of Allah. Look at the Sahaba Ikram, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, was given the title, the lover of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every Sahabi had different titles and he was given this title, the lover of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was walking and he sat down under the tree. And they said, what are you doing, Hazrat? I said, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw him one day, he was traveling, walking, he sat down like this in this place like this, and I'm doing the same. Nobody dared to say, why you don't need to do this? Why are you copying like this? Maybe he did it for this reason, or he didn't need to do this. Maybe he did this or that. No. Nobody made excuses. And today on big actions of sunnah, we put hurdles and walls and barriers. My brothers, this is the message of fasting, the message of Ramadan. أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا رَسُولُ وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever pays heed to Allah and His Rasul has already attained to a mighty triumph. Allah says, if you do this, I've given you the hint already. I start to love the fasting person so much that his breath, the smell of his breath is sweeter to me than musk. Allah says, if you carry out the actions of sunnah, then on the day of judgment, I will say that I used to love every action of this human being that I cannot mention. In words that these are the beloved to me, take them into paradise. Take them into paradise. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.